Good morning, Boker Tov. Welcome back to Parsha Perspectives for today. As always, a big thank you to our generous sponsors, our series sponsors, Becky and Avi Katz and family, in memory of Becky's father, our learning is Nishmas David Menachem Manish, David Grossman, and the series co-sponsor, the Dykman family, in memory of their daughter and sister, Daniela Rachel Bas Shalom Ezra. Our learning should be in the schus, in the merit of this very special neshama. We have the privilege this week of learning and reading Parshas Korach, page 820 in the Art Scroll, Stone Chumash. And again, it's a parsha we are so familiar with, a parsha we know its storyline. And yet, each year, every time we learn it, we're meant to learn it anew, to learn it from the beginning, from the start, to learn it with a fresh slate, to learn it and to go deeper than we've ever gone before, and to consider other angles of it than maybe we haven't earlier. Vayikach Korach ben Yitzhak ben Kas ben Levi v'dasam avirim b'nei Eliyahu ben Peles b'nei Reuven. These individuals, beginning with Korach, the leader of this band, and Korach is identified, the son of Yitzhar, of Kas and Levi, Rashi notably points out, stopping short of associating him with Aaron, associating him with Aaron, going all the way back as well to Yaakov, to not identify him with his origins and to spare and save. Lo Hizker ben Yaakov, shebikesh rachem ma'atzma, shalizkar shmoshem amachlokusum. Yaakov Avinu wanted to be spared, not to be associated, that his horrific divisiveness and his introducing this infighting would not be associated with his name. 250 men came, they stood up, they challenged Moshe. And what was their argument? They gathered on Moshe and Aaron. Enough! You've taken too much power. You've centralized too much power. You've consolidated the power just among you. But the truth is, all of us are holy. And we all have God in our midst. So why are you putting yourself over all of us? This is a very compelling argument. It's a very persuasive argument. We understand why it was a successful argument. The democratization of Judaism. Why should there be a hierarchy? Why should there be a power structure? Why should anyone consolidate? Why should anyone carry greater influence than another? We're all equally holy. God dwells in each and every one of us. And therefore, why do you have so much power? You should diversify it. It should be spread across many. It's my turn. Vayishma Moshe vayipol apanav. Moshe hears and he collapses on his face. He understands just how dangerous this is. Vaydeber korach v'chol adoso. Moshe speaks to Korach. He reacts. He gathers himself and he tells him, Boker. In the morning, and Hashem will make known what's happening here. And the Holy One will draw himself close. The one God chooses, it's all going to resolve itself. And the story goes on and on. But let's go back to the beginning. The word Vayikach. Vayikach Korach. And much of what we're going to examine, we've studied, we've learned before. But we're not simply repeating what we said before. We're going to take the same sources, come at it from a little bit of a different angle. Says Rashi, Vayikach Korach, Parsha zu yofed nidrashes, b'medrash Rabbi Tachuma. This Parsha, Korach, yofen, Rashi makes a very peculiar comment. Yofa nidrashes. It is well expounded. It is studied. It is extrapolated. The exegesis, every fancy word I could think of, is done very well on this part. What is Rashi like? You know, Siskel and Ebert, who are the reviewers? Two thumbs up to the Medrash on this parsha, says Rashi. He's giving some review. Ooh, yafa nidrashas. Oh, they did a good job. The drush on this parsha, ooh, well done. Rashi doesn't make comments like that. Rashi doesn't give a review of the Medrash on a parsha. What's Rashi getting at? We're going to come back to him. Vayikach Korach, and Korach took. Rashi's bothered by a question. Again, we've studied this before. Every time you read Parshas Korach, you read this Rashi. What was the question that bothered Rashi? Vayikach Korach, and Korach took. Wait, let's just go on a tangent. Korach, the son of Yitzhar, the son of Kas, son of Levi. And who else joined him? Dasan and Aviram, co-conspirators. B'nai Eliyav, own Ben Peles, was recruited. Thank God for his wife, B'nai Ruvain. And they came to Moshe, 250 men. They gathered, they challenged. 1 second, you never got back to the opening word of the parsha. What was the opening word of the parsha? Vayikach. And Korach took. Now, what do you expect the text to tell us? What he took? What did he take? Torah never tells us. Vayikach Korach and Korach took. What did he take? What did he take? He took hold of the capital. He took hold of, what did he take? So Rashi tells us, Vayikach Korach lokach es atzmo letzad echad, lios nechlach mitocha ida l'orer ala kuhuna. He took himself. He took himself. Lokach es atzmo letzad echad. He took himself to one side. Korach felt the position of the Nasi should be his. He envied his cousin, Elitzafan ben Uziel, who got the appointment. And so, lokach es atzmo, what he did take something. What did he take? He took himself. And he created this division. And he put himself on one side of the issue as opposed to the others. In other words, vayikach, what he took is, he took himself and made himself an adversary of the others. Mishnah Navos tells us that this jealousy, this envy of Korach, took him out of his world. Took him out of this world. And the Mishnah tells us it literally, because what happens in the story, spoiler alert, I'm about to tell you, what happens in the story is the ground opens up and swallows him inside. The ground literally opens, a miracle. God intervenes and supersedes the laws of nature, an earthquake. The ground opens up and swallows Korach and his colleagues, his co-conspirators. So that's the little understanding of the Mishnah Navos in the fourth parak of Avos, that jealousy took him out of the world. But the Rambam, in this commentary in the Mishnah, the Rambam explains the Mishnah a little bit differently. The Rambam says jealousy, desire, and love take a person out of the world. Kina taiva v'kavod matzina sa'adam min ha'olam. That's the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. Kina, jealousy, envy. Taiva, lust and desire. Kavod, the pursuit of honor and influence. They take a person out of the world. Writes the Rambam. The reason for this is that possessing these three midos, or even a single one of them, causes a person to lose emunas ha-Torah. The Rambam understands that those three things remove a person from the world doesn't mean literally the ground open up and swallowing you up. Doesn't mean a person expiring or dying. Leaving this world means you forfeit emunas ha-Torah. The world means emuna. Emuna. Our whole life. Tzadik be'emunaso yichya. To be alive is to live with emuna. To not think ego, I am the center of the universe. But there's two ways to live, and only two ways to live. Ego versus Elokus. Either I'm the center of the universe, I take credit, I'm to blame, it's all about me, my honor, my ego, my need, my desire, my life, what I want, my rights, my entitlements. Ego or Elokus. I'm here for a mission. I'm here for a purpose. I'm here to serve. I'm here to repair. I'm here to redeem. I'm here for a mission. There's a reason I'm here, because there's someone and something much greater than myself. Ego versus Elokus. Tzadik be'emunaso yichya. If you're living for ego, you're dead even while you're alive. The person who's living for ego, their need, their want, their arrogance, their identity, their independence, their sense of self, their pursuit of honor, such a person is dead even while they're alive. They're not really alive. It's only the person who's living for Elokus. These three things, writes the Rambam, remove a person from the world. And Rav Volbig, the great Mashkiach Zatzal, in his Alei Shor Chelek Aleph, he elaborates how. So number one is jealousy, kina. A person's ability to see Hashem's divine providence, to understand that everything Hashem does and provides and gives is what's meant for us. We really believe Hashem gives us what we need and calculates everything down to its last detail. I'd never be jealous or envious of what you have. I don't look in your driveway. I don't look at the square footage of your house. I'm certainly not trying to look into your bank account. And I'm not jealous of your spouse or your children or your vacation. I'm not jealous of your place in the community or how many followers you have online, because I have what's meant for me and I'm here for a mission, and I refuse to be distracted trying to compete or keep up with you. Person who has jealousy lacks emuna. The person who has jealousy is nourishing their ego. Emuna satora is belief that what I have is what I need, that Hashem gives me what's necessary for the pursuit of my mission. And number two is taiva. Stands diametrically opposed to ability to connect to spirituality. Rav Volbig quotes the Chovos HaLevavos in Shaar HaPrishus, that the purpose of Torah is to, quote, enable one's logic to reign over his desires. The purpose of Torah is to elevate us and empower us to not indulge our instinct and our desire, to not give in, to not get caught up in that moment, in the pleasure, but to be in control, to be sovereign, to be disciplined, to regulate ourselves. That's the koach ha-Torah, that's emuna. That's when we live for Elokus, We're not just going to indulge and give in to that animal instinct. And finally, kavod. The third thing that removes us from this world is kavod. Lacking in belief that it's really all Hashem. If I need honor and I need influence and it's all about me, that's the ultimate of ego. When I'm willing to recognize I don't do it for the honor, but I'm here for a mission, I'm here to serve. Rabbeinu Yonah writes in Sefer Ayira, the honor one receives in this world might detract from the world reward we get in the next world. So the Rambam is telling us that what is our world? There are two worlds we can be living in. We can live in the world of ego, or we can live in the world of emunah. If we live in the world of ego, then it's a very lonely place, and we're dead even while we're alive. And our relationships are inauthentic and counterfeit and not real. But if we live in the world of Elokus, we're living to be of service, we're living to pursue a mission, we're living with humility, we're living knowing what we have is what we need, we're living with control over ourselves and refuse to indulge desire, we're living without needing to get honor. So now we're living in the world of Elokus, that's the place of Hashem. So Vayikach Korach, says Rav Volba, Vayikach Lakach es Atzmo, he took himself. And what does it mean, he took himself? Motzes Adam in Ha'olam, he took himself out of the world. You want to be in a world with relationships. You want to be in Hashem's world. You want to be part of Hashem's reality. Elokus, not ego. Korach was driven by ego. Menachem Tzion, we've been learning the beautiful Sefer Menachem Tzion, Menachem Tzion Zaks, the new edition. He says, Vayikach Korach, and he alludes to Rashi. Parsha zu yafin nidreshes. No se zesha machlokas sinas chinam utamid davar bi'ito. So he gets back to answer. What did Rashi mean? All of a sudden, Rashi is giving reviews. Two thumbs up to the Medrash and Parshas Korach. No, no. 9.2 for the Medrash and Parshas Korach. No. What does he mean? He means that the Medrash on this Parsha, the lessons that we're learning are so timeless, so necessary, so relevant, are such a Parsha perspective for today and every day. Because these issues of machlokas, enmity, of division, of infighting, unfortunately, they're ubiquitous, they're universal, they're in every age, and they're all time. Yafa lidrosh azeh bekilos kol zman v'idan. And therefore, it's good to elaborate, and it's good to offer drushas. Yafa nidreshes, give drushas. Yafa nidreshes, what Rashi was saying was not, I'm giving a positive review of the Medrash on our Parsha. What he's telling is all of us, get up and expound. Talk about this Parsha, dive deep. Learn it, promote it, teach it, so we can finally repair damage done by machlokas. It's not a coincidence we're reading Parshas Korach as we begin Chodesh Tammuz. Today is Rosh Chodesh Tammuz, the month of Shivasar B'Tammuz. We're going to begin the 3 weeks. And what led to the destruction? What led to this churban? What led to this reality that we're living in? Is machlokas, sinas chinam. It's baseless hatred, and it's division. And it's infighting. So Yafa Nidresh, as Rashi is telling us, this is a good place to darshan. This is a good place to expound, to learn, to teach. Dor holech v'dorbo machlokas la'olam omedes. Writes Rav Tzion, Menachem Zaks, says, the generation goes and a generation comes, and machlokas is still here. Hasatan shal sinas chinam. The evil Satan of baseless hatred, osa shemaz ba'amenu. Adayin mamshech lirkod beinenu. It still dances among us. Still dances among us. And that's the message. Vayikach Korach lakach mekach ra la'atzmo. Made a bad purchase. What was it? Mech ohara haya shalakach keneshek l'meridaso as yichuso agadol. What is this purchase? He looked at his yichus and he said, do you know who I am? Do you know where I come from? Do you know what it says on my shidduch resume? Ben Yitzar, Ben Kahas, Ben Levi. Hevit soar va'ora la'olam. Kahas, lo yekas amim. Levi, nilvu el Hashem. Nilvu goyim rabim. Each of those names, each of those words is a description of a great yichus, of a great background, of great prominence. And he thought, that defines who I am. I'm superior. I'm greater than you. It thought it put him in a position to be critical of others, to be feel greater than others. Vayikach, lakach es atzma, machlokes lois l'shem shemayim. Hu ratza lakach es mekach tov shal kavad, Le'atzmo. Essentially what I've been telling you, the theme of my forthcoming book. If I keep saying it, maybe it'll happen. The one I want to write, and I think it's written in my head, that all of life, these two worlds, ego or elokus, what's lakach es atzmo? He went to the world of ego. Vayikach Korach, lakach es atzmo. Kavod le'atzmo. He lived for ego. He lived for himself. He didn't realize honor is not a commodity. You don't trade in honor. You can't buy it. You can't order it on Amazon. You can't invest in it. You can't go long on it or short on the stock market. Honor is not a commodity that you trade or you buy. Honor is something that you earn. In fact, we have the opposite tradition, that the more you run after, the more you pursue honor, the more it runs away from you. So that's what Korach didn't get. He was living in a world of ego, not a world of elokus. And when you live for ego, not elokus, lakach es atzmo. Atzmo means ego. He was living for ego, not elokus. He wasn't living even at all. That was the source of the machlokas, and that was the source of his downfall. But in 2 days, it'll be Gimel Tammuz. Gimel Tammuz, the yahrzeit of the Rebbe Zatzal. And I want to share with you an insight. My dear friend Rabbi Volvovsky gave the shiur this past Shabbos. And the theme of his shiur was how if you look through the sichos of the Rebbe looked at different characters of Tanakh and of Shas, people that we saw as villains, and we vilify, and we demonize, and we see as negative, bad actors on the stage of Jewish history. And the Rebbe would look at them and say, no, you're misunderstanding them. It's true they did something wrong. It's true they went wrong. And we need to learn from that. And they were accountable for it. But it's not who they were. You see, essentially, we have different parts to who we are. We have the good, the pure, and then we have sometimes the misdeeds, the mistakes, the indiscretions. Which is the real us and which is the klipa? Which is the essential us, the essence of who we are, and which is the peel? Which is the covering? What is obscuring the essence of who we are? So if you read Parshas Korach, this was one of the five examples he spoke about. If you read Parshas Korach, on the surface, Korach is a wicked villain. He leads this rebellion. He almost undermines the whole authority of Moshe Rabbeinu, this nascent nation, this beginning of a people, just at our adolescence. And Korach almost undid it all. And he's a villain. In fact, I was debating very early this morning at our Kol HaBoker, while you were all still sleeping, with Rabbi Volvovsky, that the Torah itself calls Korach and his colleagues Anashim HaRashayim Ha'ela, Pasuk HaVav. Sur Nameh Alay Olay Anashim HaRashayim Ha'ela. Vaydaber La'ida Le'mor. He speaks to the people. Moshe stood up and he speaks to everyone. And the Torah tells us Moshe called them Ha'anashim HaRashayim Ha'ela. These are wicked men. But that's not the way the Rebbe saw it. The Rebbe Nesicha, in 5748, I'm reading to you from a Sicha of the Rebbe. Yeshlomar atam dekriyas ha-parsha b'shem Korach. Why would you name the parsha after a villain? If Korach is taka, such a wicked person, and he almost undid our people and led this rebellion, why would you name a parsha in perpetuity? Why would we identify and associate a holy parsha of the Torah with him? Lahadgish es ha'inyan hatov de Korach. Because the Torah is trying to tell us, peel away the layer, peel back the klipa. Don't look at the poor choice, the indiscretion. Don't judge him by his worst moment. Look at his essence of who he was. Look at the purity in him. Look at the best of him. Haratzon lios kohen gadol. You want to hear something amazing about Korach? He had aspiration and ambition. He had spiritual drive. He wanted to be the Kohen Gadol. Other people wanted to win the NBA championships. Other people wanted to be the first trillionaire on earth. Other people wanted to be a president who had lots of power. You know what Korach wanted? I want to be the Kohen Gadol. I want to have access to the Kodesh HaKadoshim. That's something amazing. It was misdirected. It was misguided. It led him to poor choices. He had to be accountable, like the ground to open up and swallowing him up. But Ratzon Zeh in Tov, writes the Rebbe, that Ratzon, that drive, that will, that's something good. How we manifest, it's for you, Ben, how we manifest that Ratzon, how we manifest that will, that's very important. That's the lesson of Parshas Korach. But the notion that we have drive and ambition, and that we have will, and that we have want for great spiritual things, that's a lesson we learn from Korach. So much so, the Rebbe says, who is the real Korach? The real Korach is the one with this Ratzon. Okay, he was a little misguided. It led him to a rebellion. It led him to compete with Moshe. It led him to Machlokas. Okay, for that the ground had to open up and swallow him up. But his legacy, how we should remember him, is the name of a Parsha, that is Parshas Korach, because he had Ratzon. Rashi says, Parshas Yofa Nidreshes, Vayikach Korach, Lakach es Atzmo. So the Rebbe understands, you know what Lakach es Atzmo means? Atzmo means we should be Dorish, Yofa Nidreshes, we should be Dorish. What we should focus on, and expound on, and see is Atzmo, his essence. His essence. It's a whole new way of learning Lakach es Atzmo. I told you, we're learning the same Parsha, same Rashi. We've seen this all before, but we're coming at it an entirely new angle. We haven't until now. L'chvod Gimel Tamas. We're learning it a little bit differently. That Lakach es Atzmo means his essence. His essence. Now, why is this important? Because this is also the way we're meant to see every Jew. Writes the Rebbe. When you meet a Jew on the surface externally appears undesirable state, we can either read people like you read Parshas Korach, superficial, on the surface. What you see is what you get. And what will you do? You'll dismiss them, you'll demonize them, you'll vilify them, you'll see the wickedness in them, you'll see the mistakes that's being made. What is there for me to do with this person? This is a person b'sheol. What's sheol? H-E double hockey sticks, as my son would say. Sheol is Gehenna. This person who the ground is swallowing him up is on his way to Gehenna. This person who on the surface is wicked. I dismiss. I withdraw. I recoil. I have nothing to do. Al zeh ba hamana b'parshas ha-shavua, parshas b'torah shashma korach, and that's where the Torah comes and says, Parsha zu yofa nidreshes. Klamar Yehudi zeh shepagash omar lo darsheni. This Jew is crying out, darshan me, study me, learn me, dive deep in me, peel away the layers, the klipas, and reveal my essence, the truth, the purity of who I am. Lidrosh velimtos anakuda atova vayofa shebo. Yofa nidreshes. Our mission, our job, this is how the Rebbe lived his life. And this is what he charged each and one of us, is to live such a life. Yafin Idreshes is to not see what's on the surface, to not judge someone based on their worst moment. Rabbi, put it in the back. But to see a person on their best, not their worst. Yafin Idreshes, darshan a person and learn them best. Yesh ladas v'lizke yafin shiko yehudi, beizem maimenu matzava sheyeyeh, Yaakov didn't want to be associated, identified with Korach, because Yaakov is the lesser, lower name. But Yisrael, the higher name, that's Korach, because that ruts on that will. We have the ability to dive into our essence, to see the chelak alakom mimal mamash, the pintal yid, that holy spark, the pure in each person. Yofin Idreshes, it's a whole new way of reading and learning Parshas Korach. Yes, we have to study the surface. Yes, we have to accept the pashup shot. Yes, we have to see the consequence and accountability of a person who leads a rebellion. It's dangerous, so much so that Hashem chooses many layers and measures of messages of what needs to happen and be done with such a person. However, at the same time, see the essence. Vayikach es atzmo, see the atzmos. Yofin Idreshes, see that Jew who's saying, darsheni, darshan me, study me, study me, darshan me up, study me up. I'm not pashut, I'm not simple. I recently had an interaction with a Jew who was covered, yarmulke, tzitzis, arms covered in tattoos. He's saying, darshan me. He's saying, ask me about me. Come get to know me. Learn me. Study me. Understand me. Darshan me. Every Jew is saying, don't just look at the surface, but get deep into who I am. Dive deep. Darshan me. Get to the atzmo, the atzmus. Hachidus to parshas korach shekorach uparsha b'torah shapu'uli yehudi asher b'shem Yisrael yichunu tzrich alios beglal matzavo b'hoveh. Hayinu shegam matzav over romas hatova yafa shabo dios ben Yisrael shalibo tamim Hashem esoraso. Our job is to dive deep, expound, associate, and identify with Yisrael, the higher part of who they are, not Yaakov, the lower part of who they are, to see that. The stakel al Yehudi shebeshem Yisrael yichun al lo rak b'zeh shiridas l'matzav tzorach iloi. Not just that they yirid l'shem aliyah, but to see the good and the pure in them, even at that moment. Rabbi Bavovsky then applied this to several other personalities in Tanakh and in Shas, where the Rebbe consistently did this. Ah, you think we're saying the story to vilify and demonize? Torah would never do such a thing. Torah has laws of Lashon Hara. The Torah is telling the story. It's telling us, dive deeper. Don't just accept the surface. See what's below it, understand the best of it, and grow from it. And I think in this week of Gimel Tammuz, that we're marking the Rebbe's Yahrzeit, that's part of his charge to each and every one of us, is Yafa Nedreshes, to darshan every Jew. Don't accept what you see on the surface, but to see people for their best, not their worst. To say the best part of them is the real part of them. And the mistakes they make, that's not the real part. That's the klipa. That's the peel. That's that which is obscuring the light. And our job is to peel it back and see and relate to the essence of who they are. Perek Tzayin Pasuk Gimel. They gather against them. They say, Rav Lachem. No, too much. You consolidated too much power. Taken too much. Listen to this amazing, amazing Menachem Tzion. Kulam Kedoshim. What's Korach's argument? We're all holy. Who are you to put yourself over us, above us, superior to us? We're all holy. Kulam Shamu Devarim Misinai Bipi Agvura. Rashi says, you think you were the only one there? Our religion is very different than others. In other religions, one man went on top of a mountain, got some prophecy, came back and told everyone, God whispered in my ear, I'm the main man. Or God whispered, God forbid, I'm his child. And now everyone do as I say. Not our religion. Moshe did climb on a mountain, come back and give us the Torah, but that was only after Hashem first revealed himself to all of Klal Yisrael. 2 to 3 million people, men, women, and children. Every soul that was created since the beginning of creation, that was destined to exist forever, including those who would convert, were also, says the Chida, at Har Sinai as well. We were all there. And that's what Korach's arguing. Kulam shama dvarim b'sinem p'yagvura. So Moshe and Aaron, who do you think you are? You think you're better? You think you're bigger? You think you're more powerful? You think you speak with more authority? We were all in the room. We were all around the table. We were all at the base of the mountain. We were all present when Hashem revealed himself. Korach ta'an rav lachem. Dai lachem ben hagasa shemagdem se'idareina. It's enough. Your job is done. You didn't know when to walk away. Term limits. When you came down the mountain after 40 days and you transmitted the Torah, that was your job. But there were term limits. It was time for retirement. You were done. Back in Sefer Shmos Perek Gimel, when God first recruited you to lead, he told you then your mission. And what was your job? Take the people out of Mitzrayim and get them to the mountain. Shkoyach Moshe, job well done. We'll have a dinner in your honor. We'll dedicate a Torah in your honor. We're sending you on vacation, apparently not to Israel, but with your family. We'll do something special. We're going to name the main sanctuary after you. We're going to do whatever you want, Moshe, but your job is done. You need to walk away. No lifetime contract, says Korach, for you. You're done. You got us out of Egypt. You got us to the mountain, walk away. Rav Lachem means you're holding on too tight, you're holding on too long. Kasher Yud Zekvar Nigmar, Kulanu Shamanu Dvar Mesinai, Kulanu Nasam Kedoshim. We all heard, we can all take it from here. We were all there, we know what to do next. Omdim Lefaninu Yudim Tafkidim Kibir Chadashim, Azkikim An Rav Lachem, Avar Zmanchem, Valichem Ata Aseges Achor, Laseis Lanu Makam Lekachs Biyadim. Give someone else's turn. It's someone else's chance. You can't be the president for life. You're not the chairman forever. You're not the chief rabbi till the end of time. Walk away. Rav Lachem. And why? What was Korach's argument? I never noticed this in all the years of learning Parshas Korach. You ready? Korach says, Uvesocham Hashem. What did he mean? Kolei dakulam kedoshim. All the people are equally holy. Uvesocham. And in them. Until now, I understood uvisocham to mean uvisocham Hashem in Klal Yisrael, the democratization of Judaism, all equal, and Hashem dwells among us all, and you don't have greater access to Him than us. That's not what the Menachem Tzion says. This is an illusion. Back to Parshas Truma. When Hashem says, build a Mishkan, He says, Asuli Mikdash, Vishachanti, Bisocham. And what did we say there? It doesn't say as it should grammatically, Vishachanti, Bisocho, I will dwell in it. It says instead, I will dwell in them. Why? We learned back in Parshas Truma. Because what God was saying was, don't think that the only place you have access to me is my Mishkan or my Mikdash, Bisocham, in every one of you. Where can you find me? In your heart. That's where you'll find me. That's where you'll find me. Umizeh ratza Korach lochiach shashchina shora bisocham. Korach was throwing God's word back in Moshe's face. Hashem told Moshe, v'shachanti bisocham. So now Korach says to Moshe, uvisocham Hashem. Hey Moshe, remember what you told us? That yes, we should build a Mishkan and later a Mikdash. But where does God really dwell? In our hearts and in our homes. Well, guess what? If He dwells in our hearts and our homes, why are you taking all the power? Walk away, move on, retire. Your job is done. Kol echad ve'echad b'shava, hu toa. But he was mistaken. It's true. Hashem does dwell in each and every one of us. It's true Hashem lives in our hearts and our homes. But he doesn't dwell equally. Korach forgot the end of that pasuk. Here Korach is invoking the pasuk in the teaching of the Mishkan, throwing it back in Moshe's face. But says the Menachem Tzion, he forgot the end of the pasuk. Kechol ashinim, kechol asher ani mareh uscha, estavnis ha-mishkan ve-estavnis kol kelav chen ta'asu. Shaitzorch lomav asu mikdash kechol ashinim mareh uscha, v'shachanti b'socham. Hakavani v'shachanti b'socham, kechol asher ani mareh uscha. I will dwell in you according to what I show each and every one of you. Because everyone's different. Chen ta'asu, ledoros. All of you, separately and for generations, do what is asked of you. Different. Everyone's different. Every generation is different. Within the generation, different people are different. Some connect to learning, davening, chesed. Some have this skill set and these assets and this potential. Others have this. And God was not telling us we're all equal, but each equally in our own way. But there is a hierarchy. We have Kohanim, Levim, and Yisraelim. We have people of different positions. Similarly, he quotes, when Hashem gave us the Torah, Pasuk describes the whole nation saw the sounds, the voices. Doesn't say v'chol amr imes ha-kol. They all heard the voice. What does it say? Kol amr imes ha-kolos. We heard the voices in plural. Ba'ure'ei, says the Medrash. Come and see. Heyach ha-kol yotze itza kol Yisrael. V'chol echa ve'echa lefi kocho. Hazkena lefi kocham. Habachram lefi kocham. Haktana lefi kocham. Moshe lefi kocho. We all had heard at Har Sinai according to our level. Do you think the 8-year-old heard the same way as the 80-year-old? Do you think the one with the high IQ heard the same way with the more challenging IQ? You think we didn't all hear the same way. We all heard through the filter of our life experience and our personality and our potential. And that's why what we heard was ha-kolos, not ha-kol, not all the same, but kolos, separate. And apart, Moshe yedaber ve'alokim ya'anenu b'kol. Moshe heard the call that was meant for him, but we each have a different call. Harinis mar'echa, kolacha arev, kolach arev, and so on. This was the failure. This was the breakdown. This is where Korach went wrong. He failed to see that there are differences. There are differences among us. And that attempt to erase the differences is where he went wrong. So he was right. Uvisocham Hashem. That throwback to the Shachanti Bisocham, the Bisocham, invoking that word, he was right. But he forgot the end of the pasuk, and that's where he went wrong. So how does Moshe gathers himself? First he collapses, because he realizes how dangerous what's happening is. And when he collects himself and responds, what does he tell Korach? Boker, In the morning, Hashem will make known what is happening. The one who is his own, the Holy One, will draw him close, and so on. What's with the boker? We've learned this in the past, the beautiful insight of Soloveitchik. We've seen the idea, the message, that you should always sleep on it. How often do we make the terrible mistake of responding immediately? Someone wrote us a text, a WhatsApp, an email, and what do? Ooh, we write back right away. And it's not long till we regret it, because we just escalated it, and we gave them a zinger, and they give us a little poke, and we punched them in the face. And the next thing now, it's spiraling out of control, because we didn't wait. So Chazal tell us, boker, sleep on it. Not every email has to be answered. Not every email has to be answered that minute or that day. Boker, sleep on it before you respond, because in the morning, you'll have much more clarity. In the morning, you'll see much more clearly. You'll think more clearly how to be effective, what outcome you want, and how to get there. But the Menachem Tzion has a different insight. Boker, says Rashi, Ata eis shechros hilanu. Nighttime, sleepy, exhausted, cloudy our judgment, passing out, falling asleep. It's like a time of drunkenness. Shikr kol olam kulo doma olav kemishor. U'mishamachi, shikr al yora. Gemara Ervin says that if you're inebriated, intoxicated, you had a little chayim, you're not allowed to paskin. Why? Because you don't have clear judgment. Your judgment's clouded. You can't paskin. You can't decide Jewish law. You can't issue a judgment. Because when you're in that place, in that state, you can't tell the difference between truth and falsehood, between tzedek l'avo, righteous and crooked, between tzchus l'chova, between who's right and who's wrong. HaTorah Amar, and that's why the Torah tells us, Yain v'shecher al teisht, l'havda ben hakodesh ben achol. You can't drink when you enter the mikdash. Why? Because the mikdash is a place of discernment between the holy and the profane, right and wrong, between feeling Hashem's presence or his absence, lahavdil. And the shikr, if you're intoxicated, whether literally on a substance or simply because you're exhausted, you're overtired, you're sleep deprived, or because you are emotionally driven in such a way that's clouding your judgment. If you're filled with envy and jealousy and hate and enmity and divisiveness like Korach, you're like a drunkard. You can't make havdalah. You can't see clearly. You can't see differences. Ain't any yichol lahavdil. And that's Das. Yerushalmi Brachos tells us, in Yain Das, Havdalah Minayin. Bavli also Brachos. Why do we put Havdalah in the Brach of Das? Atachonin L'Adam Das. And that's where we have Atachon Antanu. Amotze Shabbos, when we add Havdalah to our Amida, where do we insert Havdalah in the Amida? In the Brach of Atachon, in the Brach of knowledge, wisdom, discernment. Why? Chazal tell us. Because the main Das, Havdalah Minayin. If you don't have wisdom, knowledge, discernment, you can't tell the difference. You can't tell the difference. You can't have Avdalah. V'zeh ava nadav aviyu, hayashasu yayin. Nadav and aviyu, the sons of Aaron who went into the Beis HaMikdash, one of the understandings of why they died, it was a capital crime, was they were drunk. They drank before they went in. V'chashv shakol shavim, shakol ishava. And what was the result, the consequence of their being drunk? They thought we're all equal. Our father, Kohen Gadol, Kohen Shmadol, Shaleh, we're all equal. Korban Hashem says, the one I want to give, the one I was told to give, the one I made, it's all equal. What happens when you get drunk? Drunk on a substance, drunk on your emotion, drunk on your ego. What happens when you're drunk? You lose the capacity to discern, to see differences, for judgment. It all seems the same. You lose boundaries. They all become blurred. We're supposed to do that on Purim. Chai v'nish l'vesumei. We're supposed to drink on Purim to the point we can't tell the difference between Arur Haman and Baruch Mordechai. But the exact opposite is how we're meant to live the whole year. Don't indulge. Don't get drunk, either in a substance or on ego or emotion, in such a way that you can't see. Korach was drunk on jealousy. Korach was intoxicated on envy, so much so he couldn't see anymore. He couldn't see clearly. He couldn't see differences. He couldn't have judgment. Medrash tells us, Ma ra lomar boker. Why does Moshe say, boker? We'll figure it out in the morning. Amar Moshe, gvulos chilek HaKadosh Baruch Hu ba'olamo. You know what Moshe was telling him? Hey, Korach, you don't understand why there are differences, a hierarchy? You don't understand its importance? You think everything's equal? You know, there's something called night, and there's something called morning. Something called day, and something called night. Something called the sun, something called the moon. And you can't mix up the two. And they don't mix all together. There are differences. There's a boundary. There's a line. Vayer vayiboker. What comes after it? Vayavdel Elokim bein ha'or bein ha'choshech. There's an erev and there's an evening and there's a morning. Vayavdel. That capacity. Chavri, you listen, this is so important. Our generation that's lost definitions and it's lost boundaries and it's lost differences and it wants to live in this place that says everything is the same. We're erasing boundaries. We're erasing differences. We're erasing definitions. We're erasing institutions. We're erasing everything. Everything is the same in what you want it to be and call yourself whatever you want to call yourself. B'shvil tashmisha shalom k'shem she'edil ben or ben ha'choshech B'shvil tashmisha shalom k'achiv de Yisrael min ha'umos V'avdil aschem min ha'am lios li. And God says there's a difference between a Jew and a non-Jew. I'm elevating you. I'm charging you. I'm giving you a mission and a purpose. You're here for a reason. You've got a responsibility. V'avdil aschem. I'm making a difference. By the way, Ruchaim V'loshner and others said, you know, if a Jew doesn't make Kiddush, then non-Jews make Havdalah. When the Jew doesn't live for a Kiddush Hashem, when we don't make Kiddush, non-Jews make Havdalah. They separate us out. They hold us to another standard. We see that word over and over again. Havdalah. We're different. We have to know that difference. We have to see those differences. We have to be capable of measuring those differences, of understanding the consequence of those differences. And that's what Moshe is telling him. Korach, you know what the biggest danger posed by Korach was? Korach, you come along and you want to say, there's no differences. We're all equal. Everyone's the same. So many of our problems of the last few years are these attempts to erase differences. There's no longer an expert. Every comedian with a microphone and internet connection is now a geopolitical expert and is entitled to accuse Israel of genocide and promote falsehoods and lies. Why? Because there's no credibility, there are no credentials, there's no expertise. We've erased it all. If you have an internet connection and a keyboard or a camera, now you're an expert. No differences. Everyone's the same. No credentials, no credibility, no peer review. Everyone's the same. Everyone's an expert. Everyone can choose their gender. Everybody can choose their own set of laws. Everyone can choose their reality. Everyone can establish their own truth. Everything, everyone, there's no boundaries. There's nothing anymore that's sacred. There's no Havdalah. There are no differences. And Moshe understood that's the danger. That's the danger that Korach is posing. So he turns to him and he tells him, Korach Boker. The answer to you is Boker. Just like there's night and day. Just like there's evening and morning. Just like there's a moon and a sun. Just like those are undeniable differences. What do you think? The sun wakes up one morning and says, today I feel like the moon. The moon one night decides, today call me the sun. There are scientific, objective, measurable differences. And those differences matter. They mean something. They have a job. Zachar nekeva bar'am. There's a balance to the universe that depends on these differences. What is marriage? Mitzvah Hashem, I'm going to a wedding tonight. I love it. What's the Birchas Eirusin? It's the most peculiar bracha ever. A couple stands under a chuppah, and we make a bracha. We make the sheva brachas afterwards. But the mechanism of Kiddushin, what makes them betrothed to one another, is not your two halves becoming a whole. You complete each other. Romance and love and doves flying through the air. What's the bracha we make? Asher asa lanu asa arusos. Kadosh Baruch Hu said, now everybody else is forbidden. And if you violate this trust, there's a death penalty. And now you are exclusive to one another. And nobody else can infringe. And now don't cheat. And don't turn. And don't be unfaithful. What in the world are we doing? That's the least romantic thing we could do under a chuppah. The bracha we're making for this chasan and kala in this moment. That's the Birchas Eirusin? Yeah. What's it called? Kiddushin. You know what makes it Kiddushin? You've just announced Havdalah. What makes it holy, Kiddushin, is because the Havdalah, you say, you see the two of you? This is exclusive. Nobody else. Everybody else is outside this chuppah, this boundary, this border that you just did. That's why the Kala walks 7 times around the Chassan. She's making a circle around him and she says, it's now me and you, buddy. And what does he do? A moment later, he reciprocates. He puts a ring on her finger, the same circle. She's the center of the circle of his life. And she says, it's now me and you, honey. It's just us. We're together. There's a Havdalah. There's a difference between us and everyone else. It's another boundary that's being erased. I'm sorry. I'm going to get back to the Parsha. I promise. Maybe I should have saved this for my drush of the Shabbos. If I do, then just forget I said all of this. But what's the, even there, what happens? The husband tells his wife all of his innermost feelings, and she thinks, wow, we have emotional intimacy, connection. This is exclusive. You're sharing. You're vulnerable. You're letting me in. Only to go on the internet 2 minutes later and see he wrote the same thing on Twitter. The same feelings, the same vulnerability, the same what's happening inside. There goes the emotional intimacy. First of all, if people dress the same way, what is intimacy? Das, knowledge. Havdalah. Imein das, havdalah minayin. Das, the Torah's definition of intimacy, of das, is also havdalah. If everybody's, if I expose myself literally and figuratively to the world the way I do to you, then it means nothing that you get to see me exposed, because guess what? So does anyone else walking down the street. So does anyone else who goes on my social media profile. But if you're the only one that sees me exposed that way, physically or emotionally, then we have something special. There's a havdalah. There's a difference between what we have and what everyone else has. And the world is missing that. They're erasing that. They're diluting that. They're destroying that. No differences. No, what you have with each other, you can also share with the world. Bring other people in. Bring what you have to them. If you erase those differences, you have nothing left. Imein das havdalah minayin. You need havdalah to have that das, to have that intimacy. That's what Korach threatened. That's why it was so dangerous. That's what Moshe understood. He's coming to erase differences. Kolei da kulam kedoshim, definitions, descriptions, institutions. Get rid of it all. Everyone's an expert. Everyone's in charge. Everyone's in power. Everyone's in control. We're getting rid of it all. That's dangerous. It's not the way the world works or what needs to happen for the world to be balanced. That's the danger, and that's why Moshe turns to him and says, Boker, Boker, there's a difference between the morning and the evening. Who came before and did this danger? The Menachem Tzion tells us it was the Dor HaFlaga. The Dor HaFlaga came and did this, a generation of the tower. Dor HaFlaga, they also... Everyone has to speak the same language. We're all going to come together. This was a big danger as well. No differences. No differences. Gemara and Shabbos tells us, Chodesh Tammuz. Unfortunately, we're going to mark. Hopefully not. Mashiach will come. But we're going to mark the 3 weeks. Why was the Beis HaMikdash destroyed? It's Gemara and Shabbos. Kuf Yitesh. Lochor v'Yushalayim el b'shvil shehishvu katan v'gadol. Because in that generation, they equated, katan v'gadol. Someone great with someone small. We just lost our internet connection. It's all from Hashem. The internet and the shir are where Hashem wants them to be. Loch hishvu katan v'gadol. We equated a katan v'gadol. Great and small. That's what I was telling you. Credibility, credentials, authority, experts. We just said everyone's equal. We lost that difference between the two. And when that happened, that was it. And when that happened, that was it. That was it. Just like our internet connection. That was it. That was the danger. That's what Moshe was responding to. Perek Tzayin Pasuk Chafei. We still have the audio. Hasn't happened in a while. Vayedaber Hashem Moshe, Vayedaber Kol Yehuda, Vayalu Misavir Mishkan Korach, Dasa Vaviram, Vayakam Moshe, Vayelech Dasa Vaviram, Vayechu Acharav Zikne Yisrael. Korach's sidekicks in this plan were Dasan Vaviram. Moshe gets up and he goes to Dasan Vaviram. He gets up and he goes to Dasan Va'aviram. Says the Lavos Ish. Says Rav Druk. Moshe goes to Dasan Va'aviram. Mizbar b'psukim. Kilachar shakarach v'dasan v'aviram chilko ha-Moshe. V'em ridu. Im kozeh Moshe Rabbeinu machal ha-kvodu v'atzma halach ha-dasan va'aviram. Moshe is the authority, the greatest. The greatest not only of his time, the greatest of any time. One of the 13 principles of our faith is to believe Moshe is categorically different than all others. That's where Miriam went wrong. That's what Miriam didn't understand. Let's see if we can get back in. Oh, we're back. That's what Miriam didn't understand, that Moshe is the greatest of all time. And despite that, and with that, Moshe is the one who goes to Dasan Vaviram. Moshe goes to them. Moshe goes to them. The Gemara Sanhedrin says, we see from here, Osar lahachzik b'machlokas. You're not allowed to grab on. Lahachzik means don't grab on to debate, to machlokas. Anyone who grabs or joins onto machlokas violates a lav, violates a prohibition. Don't grab onto machlokas. Don't hold on to machlokas. You see something incredible. it's not that Moshe didn't grab onto Machlokas just because he was forgiving if they came to him. Moshe is the one who went to them. Moshe goes to them. Moshe doesn't hesitate. Writes Rav Druk, Mavel Arayon, Moshe Rabbeinu Shekom Asif Alpim Mitzvah Hashem Yisborach, Gosh Baruch Hu Tzivo Oso Lahak Ter Sa'orin Bekesar Kahuna, Hu Yada Sha Tzedek Ito, V'Shekol Machlokas, Korach Vadasu Kfiro Minus. He knows this is heresy. It's backwards, it's upside down, it's inside out. They're entirely wrong. He's entirely right. There is no room for debate. There is no doubt or uncertainty. And despite all that, he goes to them. Why? What's included in the lav? The prohibition to grab onto machlokas doesn't just mean if someone comes to you, you have to be forgiving. It means you have to go to them. This is a Torah obligation to never stand on ceremony. Too many machloksim continue. I could tell you as a rabbi of a large congregation now for many years, there are families who are not talking to each other and no one knows why. It's generational. Parents didn't talk. The grandparents didn't talk. We don't talk. And no one even remembers exactly why. They just know that's the part of the family we don't talk to. Okay, so why doesn't someone just go and end it? If you can't even remember why, is it worth continuing? Just get together and end it. End it. We have enough enemies from without. We need to be enemies from within. We'll only solve our problems when we find the unity and the peace from within. What's going on? Elamai, too many people stand on ceremony. I would be forgiving if they come to me. I would entertain reconciling if they make the first move. It wasn't beneath Moshe Rabbeinu to make the first move. He was entirely in the right, undeniably, categorically, unequivocally. Nevertheless, it wasn't beneath him to make the first move. He went and he makes the first move. He makes the first move. And Rav Druk elaborates on this. This is the oath, this is the sign. He expounds the psukim even more. Too many people want to be machzik, they grab onto machlokas. Says the Menachem Tzion, you know what it means to grab onto machlokas? Listen to what he says, another brilliant interpretation. They're so great. Dasan va'aviram, at this point, this is not the first time we're seeing their name. Why? Where else have we seen them? We've seen them earlier. What happened earlier? They have a chazaka of being wrong. When the Gemara tells us, don't be machzik b'machlokas, it doesn't mean don't grab on to machlokas. It means even when the other party has a chazaka of machlokas. What's a chazaka? An established pattern. An established pattern that reveals a reality, that has laws associated with them. Even when the other side has a chazaka of machlokas, don't stand on ceremony. End it. Go to them. Get up and go. What a powerful lesson. We can't and shouldn't be anywhere near machlokas. People love and live for machlokas. Forgot which sefer I was going through that talked about. You know, when the rabbi gets up and announces a big speech that I'm going to speak about, we should love one another, we should have unity, we should all get along, how important, how beautiful that will be, nobody comes. When it leaks out that the rabbi gets up because he's going to be blasting the other shul in town, the rabbi wants to talk about the other rabbi. Rabbi wants to talk about the kashrus scandal, the emergency services scandal, the breakaway minion scandal, the shul is packed. Everyone wants to hear it. No one wants to miss it. Everyone wants a part of it. Everyone tunes into that one. That one, everyone tunes into. Why is that? Everybody gravitates. It's backwards. It's upside down. When word leaks that that's what the person's going to speak about, the room should be empty. Nobody should be machzik v'machlokas. There's a law, a Torah prohibition that says, don't be anywhere near it. You know why you don't want to be anywhere near it? Because if you're in the room and someone comes in with a gun, God forbid, and is aiming for someone, what do you say? Oh, well, he's aiming for him. I could stand here. I'll be fine. You say, I don't want to be a casualty. I don't want to be anywhere near it. Well, machlokas is like a machine gun that's out of control and the bullets are spraying everywhere. And if you're anywhere near it, you go down with it. You should be nowhere near it. Nowhere near it. And therefore, we have to not only avoid it, we should be part of the solution. We're trying to solve it. We should be among those who are credited. Vayaka Moshe. Moshe got up. He was entirely in the right, but it wasn't beneath him, and he didn't stand on ceremony, and he got up and he initiated, and he made the effort to end it. Perek Tezayin, Pasuk Lamed. And here we have all these ways that Hashem proves who's right. Ground opens up and swallows him up, and the staff, the rod, blossoms. Pasuk lamed vimbria yivra Hashem patzah adamas pia bala som es kosh alem v'yor duchayim l'sha'ola v'idatem ki na'atzu an Hashem ha'ila es Hashem. The ground opens up and swallows. Ground opens up. Moshe, who's talking here? Moshe. If Hashem will make a phenomenon and the ground will open its mouth and swallow them up and they'll descend to the pit, then you'll know that these men have provoked Hashem. The Menachem Tzion is bothered. Until now, we've had many episodes of mistakes the Jewish people have made. And what happens each and every time? What does Moshe do? Moshe is the forefront of defending them, davening for them, bailing them out, getting them off the hook. Moshe is the first helicopter parent, bulldozer parent. He comes in, he whooshes in, he rescues it. Here, instead of saying, forgive them, let it go, overlook it, Hashem, 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 Karacham, Lechanon. Instead he says, Hashem, if you don't mind, massive earthquake, open the ground, swallow them up, intervene, supersede nature, end it here. What happened? What was so nefarious about Korach, so dangerous about Korach? V'yesh lahasbir, avon Korach haya chamur ma'od. You know what the big danger of this is? In the earlier episodes, says Rav Menachem Mitzion Zaks, gluyam u'mefurashim, it was obvious and revealed to all that there was a sin, there was a mistake, there was a miscalculation. Worshipping a calf, you don't have to be a grois chacham, you don't have to be so brilliant to see they're worshipping the calf. Yeah, that's not a good idea. That's not part of God's plan. Something's gone wrong here. We've got a virus. Error message, something's gone wrong. All the other episodes of mistakes, spies come back. Yeah, we don't trust Hashem. It's not going to all work out. We shouldn't go. I don't think Hashem is right. Yeah, you want to stay far away from that report. That's probably not the right way to go. Clear and obvious. But here, the danger of Korach is, it's not as obvious. And therefore, it's so much more dangerous. It was compelling and it was persuasive. And it resonated with the people. And it was logical. But Soloveitchik called it the common sense rebellion. Korach says, if you have a talus that's all the color of Tcheles, do you still have to put Tcheles on the corner? If you have a room full of Torahs, do you still have to hang a mezuzah on the door? Those are pretty logical questions. We have an answer. Korach's rebellion was the common sense rebellion. He was trying to apply common sense to Torah, which you have to enter into Torah to understand it, just like you can't apply common sense to physics. You have to get into physics to understand it. Similarly, Torah. But that was compelling, and that's exactly what made it more dangerous. And that's why Moshe had to come along and ask Hashem to do something more dramatic and something more significant. Perek Zayin, Pasuk Yud Gimel, we'll end with this. Page 828. Moshe intervenes again. We get to a new proof of Aaron's greatness. And in this intervention, Vaya'amod ben Amesu ben Achayim vate'atzar hamagefa. Aaron took as Moshe had spoken. He ran in the midst of the people. This plague had begun, so they put incense. They put incense between them, ketores. Vaychaper ala am. The plague stopped. Those who died were 14,700. Aaron returned to Moshe at the entrance, and so on. So vayu amesim. Sorry, what's the pasuk? Which pasuk did I want to read? Yud gimel. Vayamod ben amesim ben achayim. He stood between the dead and the living, and the plague stopped. What does it mean he stood between the dead and the living? Says Rav Shaul Alter, listen to the great Rav Shaul Alter, the Gerer Rosh Yeshiva. He says the following. Vayama ben Achayim ben Amesim. Ben Amesim ben Achayim. Moshe commanded Aaron to stop the plague by offering ketores. And Rashi here says it was as if Aaron grabbed onto the Malach HaMavis and forced him to stop. Here there was a plague brought upon the people. And Aaron stands between the dead and the living, and it's as if Rashi says he grabs the Malach HaMavis, the angel of death, and says, stop doing your work. The Tefer Shlomo, the Heilige Tefer Shlomo, explains that Aaron verbally defended the Jewish people and then stopped the Malach HaMavis. Vaya'amod, Aaron stood in prayer, bein ha-mesim u-bein ha-chayim, between the living and the dead. Once a person dies, Aaron argued, can no longer do tshuva. Can no longer make choices. In the next world, when our soul is extracted from our body is the vehicle, the instrument of free will, of free choice. once our soul is extracted from the body, once we are a soul, not a body, we no longer have free will. What Aaron was telling the angel of death, the Malach HaMavis, is, Ben Achayim Ben Amesim, I'm going to wrestle you over this soul. Don't take him. Don't bring him to a world where he can't come back, can't repent, can't repair, can't correct. And with this, the Malach HaMavis was stopped in his tracks. Gemara Baba Basra says, the Satan, the Yitzhar, and the Malach HaMavis are all one. He descends to this world and causes people to err. Then he ascends to heaven and argues Hashem and gets permission to take the soul. Let's not wait till the Malach HaMavis arrives and try stopping him with the arguments of Aaron's. The image of Ben HaMesim Ben HaChayim is to realize we all live Ben HaMesim Ben HaChayim. We live between this world and the next. We have to live with understanding our own mortality. We have to understand how fragile and vulnerable our lives. That now is when we're meant to act. That when we're among HaMesim, we no longer have free will, and it's too late to dictate and determine where our seat's going to be in the world to come. If we want to improve our seating, if we want to improve our access, if we want front row, not the nosebleeds or outside the stadium in the world to come, it's all about the way we live in this world. We're all in a perpetual state of Bein HaChayim or Bein HaMesim. We're all living between those two places. That's how we stop the angel of death, because we make the right choices by confronting our mortality. That's how we'll end with this, the Menachem Tzion also. Lo tov la'adam l'hagos tamid al ha'chayim. You know, it's a mistake. If you live only in this world, you say carpe diem, all you do is pursue your pleasure. You think you're going to live forever. That's not a good life. You're not going to make good choices. Kamochein lo tov la'adam l'ashvos l'neged inov tamid al ha'mavis. But if all you think about is death, you're going to walk around somber and negative and afraid and bitter and scared and morbid. Abatash choris, that's bad. It's a bad outlook. Pessimist, it's pessimistic, or optimist. So these are shtei and bilti ritzios legamrei. Says Rav Menachem Ben Tzion Zaks, those are two extremes. Don't be too much of an optimist, and don't be too much of a pessimist. Al ha'adam anavon, a discerning, wise person, where should you be? Bein ha'mesim u'bein ha'chayim. Not too much of an optimist, not too much of a pessimist. Be a realist. Be between Bein HaMesim, Bein HaChayim. Don't focus only on life and don't focus only on death. Live in the space between the two and you'll live the most meaningful life. Have a wonderful day. Please stay to complete all of Sefer Tehillim. We have a lot to daven for. You follow the news today. Got a lot to daven for. Please stay. Everyone takes a few Tehillim. We can complete all of Sefer Tehillim together.